Now, I know you're based in South Australia, but what sort of numbers are we talking about at the moment who have registered their bodies for donations?
Well, in South Australia at the moment, we've got around 6,500 people registered on our books with as intending to donate, and that sort of equates to around 80 donors per year. But of course, with increasing demands for surgical training, we're actually looking to increase those numbers over coming years.
Now, are all donations accepted? What would stop an institution from accepting a donation?
Well, there are a few reasons as to why an institution might not be able to accept a donation. The first couple of being gross obesity or severe emaciation, so if someone's really, really thin. And that's because we're trying to teach the normal structure and function of the human body, so that when students see the abnormal structures or pathologies, they actually can recognise this. The second most important reason as to why we wouldn't accept, though, is infective processes, because, of course, the health and safety of our staff and students is paramount. And the third one is really the time from death to the time we actually receive the body. Because most bodies are actually embalmed, and that process requires the body to be in a good condition, we really have a time limit of around 3 days from the time of death till the time we can accept.
So a number of factors there, but if, for example, you die of, a heart attack or health problems with your heart, for example, that's of interest to researchers and students, really.
Yeah, of course. I mean, all of our donors, really. I mean, the average age of our donors probably is around the 70, 72 years of age mark. And, of course, all those people have led long lives, and they might have had various, diseases and complications along the way. So pretty much everyone exhibits some sort of pathology. Of course, if someone dies in a car accident or under suspicious circumstances and the coroner is involved, then that would also preclude us from being able to accept the body.
Wesley, can you clarify for us, if you donate your body to science, how does that differ from specific organ or tissue donations?
Well, generally, here in South Australia, the donation of a body to the university is a total and unconditional donation. So, really, you're giving the body over to the university to be used in whatever way we deem most beneficial to the advancement of science. And so that means that the body could be used in primarily one of four streams, either for undergraduate dissection, surgical training, which is a very growing area at the moment, because it's the only place where surgeons can actually practice procedures prior to performing it on live patients. Of course, there's research. Again, universities and bodies donated to universities are the only source of research material, human research material after death. And also the preparation of teaching specimens. That's the fourth way that they can be used. These are long-term teaching specimens where part of the body is dissected to demonstrate the relationship of structures and vessels, and that way those specimens can be kept for the next 10, 15, or in the cases of museum pots, they could be kept for the next 100 years. So people have to understand that at the end of when the body is no longer required for teaching and research, the whole body is not returned to the family. We actually do have the ability in South Australia to be able to retain parts for ongoing teaching and research.
Listening to you talk through the different ways that our bodies can be used, and you're saying 80 per year and increasing in terms of surgery, I would have thought with all the simulations and all the developments in IT, you might actually need, there's more things you could do in a simulated environment than with real bodies.
Well, look, it is true. I mean, there is simulation is a growing area in medical education these days. And in fact, our laboratory actually also has adjacent to it an area called BioSkills SA, which is a simulation laboratory. But nothing can actually imitate the complexity of the real human body. And the only way that students can actually really learn the three-dimensional relationship and the variations within individuals is by examination and dissection of a real human body.
So talk us through the process once a body is accepted, Wesley.
Okay, well, first of all, all, there's two things that can happen to a body. A body can either be embalmed or a body can be frozen for use in surgical training. The reason that we freeze bodies for use in surgical training is that it is the most realistic form of simulation, essentially, that a potential surgeon can encounter. With regards to embalming, all of the bodies that come in for undergraduate dissection follow an embalming process. So the body's received at the university. Obviously, all of the paperwork has to be checked. All the consent forms have to be there, including the consent of the family and the next of kin. And then the body undergoes the embalming. Now, embalming is simply the introduction of fluid into the body, embalming fluid, preservative, into the body via the vascular system, so via the arteries. And we use a gravity method, so basically within approximately 3 days, 20 to 40 litres of embalming fluid actually enters the body. The body swells slightly so that the fluid can travel to the skin surface. Once the body is full of fluid, it is then placed into a body bag, placed into the fridge for a minimum of 3 months, and after that 3 month period, the body is essentially ready for embalming. Ready for use, sorry.
And for whatever process happens from there. And as you're saying, the institution can hold on to the body for some time.
Yes.
What's the procedure for releasing the remains? Or, I mean, do universities cremate the remains, or is that left to next of kin?
Well, a family can choose to have their own private funeral, and that's always the case. But generally, most people choose what we call in South Australia a type 1 donation, so that is a total and unconditional donation to the university, use in either stream, either surgical training or an embalmed body. So the use of the body could extend either from around 6 months for the surgical training uses out to 3 years for the embalmed bodies. The bodies are released to our contract funeral director. They're cremated by the university at the university's expense, and then the ashes are offered back to the family free of charge so that they can either scatter or memorialise in the way that they want to.
Have families generally been happy with this process, given, as you say, of course, consent is granted, this is something that the deceased person wants to do? Are they happy with how it's been handled and the sorts of things that bodies get used for?
Yeah, most definitely. I mean, here, because we've introduced the next of kin confirmation consent, the next of kin and the family also have to agree to all the terms and the uses of the body. And so we know when we actually accept the body that not only has the donor agreed, but all the family has agreed. Certainly the introduction of cremation, we actually used to bury our donor remains in years gone past, but the introduction of cremation has been widely accepted by our donor families, because it actually enables us to give something back to the family so that there is some final closure for them.
Do families ever have a sense of what sorts of research or what sort of things their loved ones' bodies have been used for?
Yeah, they do. Some families don't want to know anything once the bodies come to us. You know, they're happy. They say, oh, look, it was mum or dad's wish. You know, use the body in whatever way you want. Other people want to know a little bit more about what has happened. And whilst we don't go into absolute detail, I can certainly always provide the families with details on exactly how the body was used.
What an interesting job you have, Wesley.
Yes, it is, really.
And I know it's a little bit different in New South Wales compared to South Australia, but there are sort of similar processes that we can be involved in here if someone's listening to this and think, no, I'd really like my body to go towards science for Parkinson's disease, for example. Those sort of things are possible?
Most definitely there are. And all your listeners would need to do is really to contact the universities that run medical programs. They're generally the ones who have body donation programs, and they should be able to provide you information on not only on those programs, but also on contacts for other things such as the Parkinson's groups and, you know, the Australian Brain Bank and those sorts of organisations.
I know it's not the conversation. Well, you probably have these conversations a lot. It's not something we talk a lot about on the radio, but it is really interesting to have you talk through our options, Wesley. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you.